This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to recall the greatest American story ever told. What would that story be? It's the story of Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. It's a story that involves all kinds of mysteries and miracles. We're going to ask about three of them. We're going to ask about how it is that an incredibly poor boy from an undistinguished family background with less than a year of total schooling could develop into one of the greatest minds and finest writers of the 19th century and, in fact, of all time. A second question, how could somebody who was a lifelong politician, considered by many a political hack, who lost more political races than he won, certainly that was true of races of substance, who had dropped out of politics 12 years before he ran for president, basically in disgust, how could someone like that ever get nominated for president of the United States by a major party? And finally, how did somebody who despised the sight of blood, who even disliked hunting, who never had any real military experience at all, become one of the most ruthlessly effective war leaders ever? Those are the questions on the table in this special broadcast, The Real Lincoln. The music in the background is the melody. It's actually an old Irish melody called Rosin the Bow, but it was used as Lincoln's campaign song in 1860 with words by Jesse Hutchinson. And the words say a great deal about the way people felt about Abraham Lincoln, candidate for president. And it's amazing to think of any candidate for president today with that kind of campaign song. And then up with our banner so glorious, the star-spangled red, white, and blue, we'll fight till our cause is victorious for Lincoln and liberty, too. How did he get there? And what about the contradictions at the very, very heart of Abraham Lincoln's life and career? In 1959, in the 150th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth, he was born, of course, on February 12, 1809, at dawn in a tiny log cabin in Kentucky. But 150 years later, Carl Sandburg, the great American poet, who is also Lincoln's biographer, was asked to give a special speech to a joint session of Congress. And in that speech, Sandburg said, "Not often in the story of mankind does a man arrive on earth who is both steel and velvet, who is as hard as rock and soft as drifting fog, who holds in his heart and mind the paradox of terrible storm and peace unspeakable and perfect." Beautiful words, but it gets to the paradox of Lincoln, which even his earliest biographer, J.G. Holland, J.G. Holland wrote a huge biography that was published the year after Lincoln's assassination. And he interviewed literally scores of Lincoln's best friends, his associates, people who knew him well and worked with him. He wrote in his biography, "There are not two who agree in their estimate of him. One would say he was a very ambitious man. Another would assert that he was without a particle of ambition." Holland wrote that the people who knew Lincoln best said he was one of the saddest men that ever lived, and that he was one of the jolliest men that ever lived, that he was very religious, but that he was not a Christian, that he was the most cunning man in America, and that he had not a particle of cunning in him, that he had the strongest personal attachments, and that he had no personal attachments at all, that he was a tyrant, and that he was the softest-hearted, most brotherly man that ever lived, that he was a leader of the people, and that he was always led by the people, that he was cool and impassive, and that he was susceptible of the strongest passions. What do you make of all that? What J.G. Holland made of it was that the contradictions in Lincoln's character were the very essence of who he was. But the idea of someone of such importance in our country and around the world, because Lincoln is the one American figure who is universally admired absolutely everywhere. How did somebody like that emerge from the background from which he emerged? Both his parents were illiterate. His father had learned to scroll out his name to sign legal documents. His mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, never learned even that. She signed her name, and we have a couple of examples of it, with an X, as people did. And Lincoln, writing some of the most beautiful prose ever, how did that happen? When he spoke about his own background, he, of course, emphasized, and part of this was for political reasons, because it was part of the Lincoln legend, as it's been called, but it's a legend that's true. When asked about his background, he would say that it can all be condensed into a single sentence, the short and simple annals of the poor. Now, Lincoln, being a guy who loved poetry, was making a poetic reference to Thomas Gray's Elegy Written in a Country Churchyard. It's a poem that became very famous after it was published in 1751, again, 60 years before Lincoln's birth, or nearly. And what the reference is to a verse in Gray's elegy, where he writes, "Let not ambition mock their useful toil, their homely joys, and destiny obscure, nor grandeur hear with a disdainful smile the short and simple annals of the poor." Perhaps in this neglected spot, he's talking about a country churchyard, is laid some heart once pregnant with celestial fire, hands that the rod of empire might have swayed, or waked to ecstasy the living lyre. But knowledge to their eyes, her ample page, rich with the spoils of time, did ne'er unroll. Chill penury repressed their noble rage and froze the genial current of the soul. He was talking about his own understanding of the people who came before him in the Lincoln family and particularly in the Hanks family. He did have the sense that all of his ancestors were, except on his mother's side, poor, anonymous, illiterate, undistinguished people. But he wasn't entirely correct, as it turns out. And he may have ignored some of the realities. He said privately to his law partner, Billy Herndon. Herndon was also a later biographer of Lincoln after he died. And Herndon, much younger man, was his law partner for 16 years before Lincoln became president. And they were riding the circuit, which lawyers did at the time. And Herndon remembered very vividly that Lincoln told him very directly that his mother, Nancy Hanks, had been an illegitimate child. And that there is no record anywhere of who her father was. And that, of course, lends support to it. Lincoln believed that his mother had been fathered by a Virginia aristocrat, presumably a slave owner, someone Lincoln said was well-bred and educated. And he suggested to Herndon that that was where he got some of his love of words and learning and poetry and scholarship and all of the rest of it. But actually, Lincoln's family on his father's side was also interesting. The first Abraham Lincoln was his grandfather. And he was a farmer, not a wealthy farmer, but a farmer who got by in Virginia. And he served in the Virginia militia. He became a captain. And then, with a lot of other people, at the end of the Revolutionary War, he headed out for what later became Kentucky. It was still part of Virginia. There's only one problem. He got himself a farm. He got several farms, in fact, and he started cultivating them by chopping down trees. And he was out planting corn one day with his three sons. He had a son who was 15 and a son who was 11. And the younger son, Thomas, who became Lincoln's father, was right beside him planting corn. He was 8 years old. And a Shawnee Indian came and attacked them and shot and killed the first Abraham Lincoln. His little boy, Thomas Lincoln, was crouched over the body. Another Indian was coming to grab him and perhaps to scalp him. They don't know. At that point, the older brother of Thomas Lincoln shot and killed the Indian who was in the midst of the attack. You can imagine, 8 years old, you're crouching over your father's dead body. That's Thomas Lincoln. He became the father of the future president. The real Lincoln. More coming up.
I've been in back pain since my early 20s. Now I'm 51. In my early 20s, I worked for the state prison. I got injured and I was off work for about a year. I'm now a trained engineer. I basically sit all day long. My wife making me take Relief Factor literally changed my life. I don't feel like I'm 20 again, but my back does.
Relief Factor really can help. The 3-week quick start is here to stay. It's discounted all the way down to $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. There are no drugs, no chemicals, just good, healthful stuff. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Call 833-654-PAIN. It's toll free. 833-654-PAIN. Or go to the website michaelmedved.com and click on the big banner for Relief Factor. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. MyPillow is patented and adjusts to any sleep position. It's washable and dryable, comes with a 10-year warranty, and 100% made in the USA. I'm also giving you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my bed sheets, mattress toppers, and bath towels. That's $29.98 for a queen size premium MyPillow and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products. Not only are you getting the lowest prices ever, but they're going to make the best Christmas gifts ever. Buy now and I'll extend my 60-day money back guarantee to March 1st, 2021.
Call 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVED. Call 800-320-6280. Promo code MEDVED.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Hurrah for the choice of our nation, our heroes so brave and so true. We'll go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and liberty too. We'll go for the boy from Kentucky, the hero of Hoosierdom crew. The pride of the suckers so lucky, for Lincoln and liberty too.
We'll go for the Great Reformation. That was part of the campaign song for Abraham Lincoln in 1860, the year he was elected President of the United States. The story of Abraham Lincoln and getting to that point where he could deliver a great reformation is one of the most American and one of the most inspiring of all biographies ever. And it's the subject of this very special show, The Real Lincoln. We spoke a little bit about how Lincoln basically wrote off, did not want to speak about his ancestry or where he came from, never spoke about his father. He did have kind words to say about both his mother and his stepmother later. He never had kind words about his father, Thomas Lincoln. Thomas Lincoln apparently was a difficult man. And there are reports from several people who knew the Little family when Lincoln was growing up who say that there was tension between the two of them. He never came to see his father on his father's deathbed, and he did not attend the funeral in 1851, even though other members of the family very much wanted him to do so. He clearly did not share his father's either religious passion. His father was an extremely committed Baptist, and one of the reasons that Lincoln apparently never wanted to go to church and never liked going to church was there's a description from one of the cousins who lived with the Lincolns for a time that when Lincoln was a small boy, he used to be forced to go to church. He would go in and then he would come out and he would repeat the sermons verbatim and often make fun of them. And his father caught him doing this at one point and did some corporal punishment, hit him, and basically said, get to work. Lincoln didn't like working, but that was all that Thomas Lincoln's life was about. He was a subsistence farmer. And one of the problems that he had was in Kentucky, even though his father had these claims of land and had considerable land, Thomas Lincoln had no claim to them because at the time that was still part of Virginia, and at the time the law that applied still left everything to the first son. That was Lincoln's uncle Mordecai, and Uncle Mord, as he was known, was a very strange bird. Lincoln said he got all of our family's talents. And that was clearly meant to be a double entendre, that meaning both money as in talents and talents as in brains. But Lincoln was born far from the privileges that Uncle Mordecai could represent. He was born in a dirt floor, one room, log cabin, 3 miles south of Hodgenville, Kentucky. He had no memory of that. And his first farm, first home he remembered, was the home that Thomas Lincoln moved the little family to. He had an older sister, Sarah, and he originally had a brother, Thomas, who died in early childhood. But Lincoln and his mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, and his father, Thomas Lincoln, and his older sister, Sarah, moved to a new farm at Knob Creek, Kentucky. It was 10 miles northeast of where he was born. And that was the first place he remembered. And, of course, like most other children at the time, he was expected to work with his father and to do that work at all times. In 1816, when Abraham, he always, by the way, disliked being called Abe. Even as a child, he wanted to be called Abraham. He did not like being called Abe. He didn't even like the nickname Honest Abe that some of his political managers later affixed on him. Later, in 1816, Abraham was 7 years old when the family moved to Indiana. Now, why did they move to Indiana? Why did they move north? In part because Thomas Lincoln, his father, being a deeply religious man and a passionate churchgoer and somebody who attended revival meetings and cared very much about things, was also bitterly anti-slavery. He hated slavery. And in Indiana, that was part of the Northwest Territory where slavery was forever forbidden, according to the original grant of that land. And also because his claims of his property in Kentucky were suspect. Kentucky was a mess, and it was particularly a mess for people who were illiterate and couldn't read through or file land claims properly. And so even the farms that he owned back in Kentucky, or he thought he owned, weren't clearly owned by him, and it looked like he could do better up in Indiana. So Abraham is 7 years old, and they move. They move to Spencer County, Indiana, and there they originally built sort of a lean-to, which they survived in for a time, while Thomas Lincoln built the cabin where Abraham spent his entire childhood. It was 360 square feet. Now think about it for a moment. Originally, there were four of them who lived there. Later, there were eight people who lived there. When they were joined by a cousin of Lincoln's mother, who another illegitimate child, and the relationship was really unclear, but Dennis Hanks was an older boy and became Abraham's favorite. And then later, other relatives moved in as well. 360 square feet. A dirt floor. Difficult circumstances. And what about education? Well, Lincoln recalled, and all historians agree that he is correct, that his total time in school during his entire upbringing was less than a year. And basically, there were three different parts of school terms, each one involving about 2 months. And they used to have at that time what were called blab schools. And there weren't regular school teachers, and it was basically all grades thrown together. If someone was traveling through and he was literate at all and could work with some of these textbooks that they used at the time, then he would be teaching the blab schools where people would recite out loud. And what's fascinating here is we have a very good illustration of the kind of instruction that Abraham Lincoln would have received. They used very commonly on the frontier a Thomas Dilworth's New Guide to the English Tongue. That would teach kids how to read. And part of what Thomas Dilworth would do would be to put together whole sentences that were words of three letters or less. And people would learn how to read by memorizing this and then associating with what's on the page. Part of what Abraham Lincoln memorized, we believe, apparently, as well as we can understand, are the words, "No man may put off the law of God. The way of God is no ill way. My joy is in God all the day. A bad man is a foe to God." Kind of lucky that the ACLU wasn't there at the time to interfere with blab schools. Well, those schools did help teach Abraham Lincoln to read. But what he did with that knowledge is another story entirely. Part of understanding the real Lincoln.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Some Republicans are objecting for a fourth straight day to a proposal to increase stimulus checks to $2,000. Minority Leader from New York Chuck Schumer tried to bring the bill forward. Minority Leader from New York Chuck Schumer tried to bring forward the House bill that would increase the $600 check by unanimous consent.
That means that today is the last chance to take up and pass the House bill to provide $2,000 checks to the American people.
Senate Majority Whip from South Dakota, John Thune, is no fan of the House bill.
This proposal is a shotgun approach, where a rifle makes a lot more sense.
Pope Francis calling for peace in his New Year's message. The pontiff delivering the appeal in a noon service at the Vatican. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The music there is We Are Coming, Father Abraham, 300,000 More. The music by Stephen Foster, the great American composer. Of course, this is a song written about President Lincoln after he became president. If you had met the boy, Abraham Lincoln, a new resident of Indiana, living in a 360-square-foot cabin together with his sister and his mother and his father, and then later other relatives who joined them. The idea that he would become president of the United States was unthinkable. This was a boy who was just learning how to read. And by the way, it's fascinating that the first example we have of writing by this great master of the English language, who, of course, everyone knows the Gettysburg Address and the Second Inaugural, who wrote so beautifully. The first example of his writing that we have, which he wrote in a very clear hand, it was very decisive, and you can recognize the same handwriting he used later on, but it was in his sum book. Now, the sum book was he loved ciphering, which is arithmetic. And that's what he appears to have really liked in school. And this is all we have as evidence of his school days, which totaled less than a year. He had taken a bunch of pages. He had gotten paper. Paper was unusual. And he had personally sewn them together. And he made a sum book where most of it was him solving multiplication problems. For instance, the boy Lincoln was asked to multiply 34,567,834 times 23,423. This is pretty impressive, actually. And there was then he was asked to divide 4,375,702 by 2,432. Now, this is all in Abraham Lincoln's handwriting as a small boy. Or to solve problems like, if 3 ounces of silver cost 17 shillings, what will 48 ounces cost? Things like this that basically school kids might have a tough time doing today. By the way, later he became fascinated by geometry as an adult when he was serving in Congress. He actually worked his way through a geometry textbook because he loved mathematics. But in his sum book, the first words that we know of written by the future president were these: Abraham Lincoln is my name, and with my pen I wrote the same. I wrote in both haste and speed, and left it here for fools to read. He did impress the kids around him because he was an expert at spelling. And there is one incident at school that one of his friends from the time recalls, where a little girl who Lincoln appears to have liked, a little girl was having a tough time spelling, and she was supposed to be spelling the word die. And she was about to spell it with a Y, and he could tell, and he signaled to her by touching his eye so that she knew it was an I. He went to school wearing a coonskin cap, this is no kidding, and buckskin breeches, pants, that were much too short for him because he was a tall boy. He ended up becoming 6'4". But he was always popular and impressive. And this is an interesting thing. The love for funny stories, for sometimes bawdy stories, that he later developed, he developed as a small boy. He loved telling jokes, telling stories. And when he began reading and borrowing books, the first book that he read and largely memorized was the Family Bible. Now, how did they have a Family Bible? They were illiterate. It was an heirloom from some previous generation, and we're not even sure which one. This was from his stepmother. And part of the tragedy of young Lincoln's life was that his mother, Nancy Hanks, we have no idea what she looked like. There are contradictory versions of what she looked like. There was never any sketch, any drawing, any painting. Of course, this is long before the era of photographs. But his mother died in 1818 when Abraham was 9 years old. And she died of what was called milk sick. This was a disease that came from the milk because cows were apparently eating a poisonous root in this part of Indiana. And actually, two relatives who lived in a nearby cabin also died of the same disease. She was sick for 7 days. Abraham apparently was at her bedside, and she told him she was going. He said goodbye to her. Thomas Lincoln used some of the rails that they had used to build the log cabin to build her coffin. And young Abraham, 9 years old, had to whittle down the pegs to put in the rails to form his mother's coffin. How'd the motherless boy become president? That and more on The Real Lincoln.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Thanks for listening to the special history broadcast. If you want even more content from Michael Medved, go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and consider becoming a Medhead. It's $5 a month for a year subscription, and there's so much content available. The 3-hour daily broadcast, commercial-free, hundreds of commentaries, 2 new podcasts, private chats with Michael, and lots more. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead subscription and become a member. Thanks for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. The Trump administration's Middle East peace plan has been widely criticized as a political stunt designed to help the re-election efforts of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and Trump himself. But such criticism ignores surprising support from major Arab powers like Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the Gulf Emirates, and real conceptual breakthroughs in the proposal's details. For one thing, the plan requires no relocation of populations for either Palestinians or Israelis. Second, Trump proposes securing significant new land for the Palestinians near Gaza to compensate for once Arab territory inhabited for 40 years by established Jewish communities. The plan also commits $50 billion in foreign investment, mostly from wealthy Arab states, to help grow the Palestinian economy and to settle descendants of one-time refugees who wish to relocate to the new state of Palestine. In all, it's a serious proposal that deserves serious consideration after the spirited election season in both Israel and America. I'm Michael Medved.
The music here is called President Lincoln's Grand March, and it was written for the president-elect after he became president-elect in 1860. But the subject of this portion of The Real Lincoln is, how did he ever escape this extraordinarily poor and very difficult childhood? His mother died when President Lincoln, the future president, was 9 years old. And this was apparently the most painful time of his childhood. He never wrote about it. He wrote about other things. But we don't know what his mother looked like. She was buried on a hillside near their farm in Indiana. It was an unmarked grave. And then years later, actually 14 years after President Lincoln died, some people tried to find the place and commemorate where Nancy Hanks Lincoln died with a gravestone. They think it's the right place. Lincoln looked back on those days in Indiana, where he lived till he was 21 with his family. And part of the reason for that was because every dollar that he earned, and he had begun earning dollars, his father would let him go to neighboring farms where, yes, he worked splitting rails. He was a big, strong, exceptionally athletic and tough kid. And he didn't like to work, but he did it. He did it very, very well. In fact, one of his neighbors, whose name was John Romaine, said, "Abraham worked for me, but he was always reading and thinking. I used to get mad at him for it. I saw he was awful lazy. He would laugh and talk, crack jokes, and tell stories all the same. He said to me that his father taught him to work, but he never taught him to love it."
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Right now, demand for physical precious metals continues strong and supplies are once again getting tight, so our economic problems are not likely to improve anytime soon. And that's what's caused gold and silver to go up in value recently. People are worried, and COVID-19 threatens to stop getting us back on track. Precious metals have always proven themselves in a time of crisis, but you need to choose which ones to buy and when, especially given recent short-term dips in the market. Now, analysts at major banks are forecasting that gold is ready to set new highs in the near term. Over many years, Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has proven himself as my go-to expert with smart, educated, responsible recommendations. Nick wants to offer his four decades experience to you. Give the AmFed team a call right now at 800-221-7694 and find out more at AmericanFederal.com. That's 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com. In this great holiday season, maybe you're wondering about what you can buy for a person that has everything. Well, how about donating on that person's behalf to a child who has nothing? Being a third world nation, Uganda was hit particularly hard with COVID-19 and lockdowns. There are literally millions of parents who are looking into a child's eyes and not being able to tell them where the next meal can come from. One of the places it can come from is a great humanitarian organization that I am proud to link with here. It is called Next Generation Ministries, and they are there to help provide food and medical needs, particularly for children and their mothers. Your gift of $10 can feed a hungry child for an entire week. $40 can feed a child for a month. $200 can feed a family of five people for a month. Click on the banner at our website for Next Generation Ministries. This is a great organization. Click on the banner at MichaelMedved.com. That's MichaelMedved.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight. And nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
All the money that he would earn, and sometimes he would be paid up to a quarter a day for chopping down trees and creating rails, his famous identity as a rail splitter later, all of that money had to be given to his father. That was the law, and Lincoln took it very seriously. Even later on, when he made trips as a teenager on flatboats all the way down to New Orleans, a big city, he would go on those adventures. He would get paid real money for it, sometimes as much as $8, which was a lot of money then. The money would go directly to Thomas Lincoln to feed their little family. And that family became larger when, shortly after the death of Lincoln's mother, he was left behind with his sister Sarah, his older sister. And his father went back to Kentucky, where he had come from, and he actually approached a lady that he may have courted long before. Her name was Sarah, like Lincoln's sister, Sarah Bush Johnston, and she had become a widow. She had three children of her own, small children. She needed a husband. Thomas Lincoln very much needed a wife and mother. And so, surprise, he showed up back at the cabin in Indiana with Abraham's new mother. And she became the most important figure in his childhood by far. The Sarah Bush Johnston was a kindly woman. She was also illiterate. She brought along the heirloom family Bible that he began to learn from. And with her three children, and with the Lincolns and a cousin, Dennis Hanks, they now had eight people in the 360-square-foot cabin in Indiana. That didn't stop Lincoln from aspiring for more. One of the things about his passion for reading, what he loved was Aesop's Fables. He loved the Bible. A little bit later, he loved Shakespeare. He read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. He would memorize big sections and recite them to people, drive people crazy. He loved reading out loud. But reading, when you think about it, given the kind of subsistence farm that they lived in, they would be working all day. And electric light, of course, was far, far, far in the future. So what do you do? This was a poor family that couldn't afford lamps or candles or things of that nature. Most of his reading would be by firelight. He would have to get close to the fire. and read there. Or sometimes he would goof off from work, and it made his father angry, by kicking back and actually reading out in the middle of an open field somewhere in the daytime when he was able. Years later, he came back to the homestead in Indiana where he grew up. And he had already been elected to the state legislature. He was somebody of some note, considered to be a rising star. He'd become a lawyer. But he always loved writing poems, not just the silly doggerel, "My name, Abraham Lincoln is my name." And he wrote a poem about visiting his old home in Indiana. And this is what the poem said. "My childhood's home I see again, and saddened with the view. And still as memory crowds my brain, there's pleasure in it too. O memory, thou midway world 'twixt earth and paradise, where things decayed and loved ones lost in dreamy shadows rise, and freed from all that's earthly vile, seem hallowed, pure and bright, like scenes in some enchanted isle, all bathed in liquid light. I range the fields with pensive tread, and pace the hollow rooms, and feel, companion of the dead, I'm living in the tombs." And not bad. I mean, by the way, some of President Obama also wrote poetry when he was younger. Lincoln's poetry is better. But I don't think that should come as a surprise. After having developed self-confidence, he continued to take journeys. He made some money building a flatboat, actually ferrying people on the flatboat. He had his first legal case when he was accused of operating a ferry without a license, had to go before a justice of the peace, and was considered okay because on the Ohio River, he took that little ferry that he had made, the flatboat, and took the people not to the other side of the river, which he wasn't licensed to do by the local government, but he took them to another steamship. But then his father decided to move to Illinois. Why? Well, he was looking for new opportunities, and Illinois seemed to be the coming place, and it meant all the world to Abraham. We'll tell you why in this special broadcast, The Real Lincoln. Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective, and no better source of perspective than the history of this great country at MedvedHistoryStore.com.
Hurrah for the choice of the nation, our chieftain so brave and so true. We'll go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and liberty too.
To purchase this special history program, The Real Lincoln, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com.
Abraham Lincoln turned 21 in 1830, and soon after he did, his father had heard about new land in Illinois. He had never done particularly well with a farm in Indiana. He left it behind. It was 1844, years later, that Lincoln went back and visited that old farm, and then wrote about it in a memorable poem. But in 1830, the family moved over to Illinois. They threw up a cabin quickly. Abraham helped his father build it. And it was on the Sangamon River, and it was west of Decatur, in the general vicinity of Springfield, Illinois. They survived a brutal winter, and then after that, Abraham agreed to make another run down the Mississippi River, carrying some goods to New Orleans in return for a few dollars from a local store owner named Denton Offutt. And after that time, and after that trip, Lincoln was independent of his family. Later, Sarah Bush Johnson Lincoln and Thomas Lincoln moved on. Abraham stayed behind in Sangamon County and in the village of New Salem, where he quickly established himself. In fact, in his first year in that new village, he ran for office. It was not an auspicious campaign. He didn't win that first campaign, but it was a beginning. And he actually got involved in something very different from what his father had been involved with, the subsistence farming. Lincoln never had the same obsession with trying to buy land and trying to raise crops. He was interested in business. He liked the idea of people paying him money. He eventually ended up partnering with a store owner and trying to start his own store. That didn't go so well, but the political career went much better. And one of the things about Lincoln that generally you don't hear about is he was very much different from his father. His father was a Jacksonian Democrat. And Democrats distrusted business. They distrusted banks. They always did. Jackson made war against the Bank of the United States. Lincoln, one of his many splits with his father from the time he was a child, he was an admirer of Henry Clay and what was called the American system, pro-business, pro-internal improvements, pro-capitalism. That was part of his personality and helped to determine the course of his personal life, his political career, and his growth into the Abraham Lincoln we recognize. Other mysteries. How did this prairie politician ever rise to the level of president of the United States? And how did someone with no military background end up being such a brutal, if necessary, and ruthless military leader? That and more in the greatest American story ever told, The Real Lincoln, continuing in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. A new study of the aging process demolishes one of the chief leftist claims about health care, that government control can eliminate inequality. The research conducted by Harvard and University College London looked at more than 25,000 people over 50 in the U.S. and the U.K. In both countries, subjects with higher net worth enjoyed an identical advantage of 8 to 9 disability-free years compared to those with little or no personal wealth. The results shocked experts who expected that Britain's highly touted government-funded National Health Service would produce more equal outcomes than the United States. Data strongly suggests the real difference in health and longevity reflect common patterns in both countries, where the poor are far more likely to smoke, to consume unhealthy diets, to abuse drugs and alcohol, and shun regular exercise. In both America and Britain, health depends less on government programs than on lifestyle choices we can control. I'm Michael Medved.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.